2 Timothy chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. We're talking about Christmas cautions. I'm going to give you one this week and, Lord willing, one next week. Christmas cautions. It's the most wonderful time. If you didn't get an outline, please raise your hand. Chuck will get you one. It's the most wonderful time of the year. As Dr. Ann Gotti just reminded us, people are active and they're excited and they're open out there, but it can pull us away from kingdom agenda values. I'm finding, like you mentioned, Doc, people are really open this time of the year like never before. A couple weeks ago when Dwayne King was here, boy, that time was with him was so precious and so fast. Dwayne said, and I don't remember if he said it in the service or when we were talking after the service, he said he's praying that God would put him into contact with at least one lost person every day. And that convicted me. I said, you know what, if he could do that, I can do that. And so I've been praying the same thing, and I've been filling up my pockets with these Merry Christmas tracts. We have them on the table out there, and I stick some of our stickers on the back, and some are just no stickers. Dr. Paul Chappell wrote this, and I carry them with me. And I've been going around every day since Dwayne's been here, and you'll find somebody doing Christmas shopping or something like that, and I'll just walk up to them and say, hey, do you like Christmas? Of course we like Christmas. I just hand them a tract. You need to learn about the Lord Jesus. Merry Christmas. And Mike, no one has rejected it yet. In fact, I was on my, and I was telling now, June this morning, what I'm finding this time is that there's Christians out there who are not living for the Lord, and when you say something to them or give them a tract, they get jolted back into reality. I was down riding down the park, not the parkway, the turnpike Thursday morning on my way to New Jersey for a meeting, and I stopped at one of the rest stops, and I met the first guy I met. He was getting out of his car. I said the same thing, Merry Christmas. I want to give you the copy of this. It's about the Lord Jesus. And I ran in to get some coffee, and when I came back, took off with the car, I noticed there was a note on the windshield. So I stopped, got out of the car, and here it is. And this man wrote, he said, thank you for that pamphlet. It means a lot to me, especially now. I'm going through a rough time right now. The Lord is my Savior. This means so much to me right now. Merry Christmas. I'll tell you what, we need to encourage the believers out there who have given up or who are going through some tough times. So I want to encourage you to get some tracts, keep them along, and particularly this time of the year, beloved, we have an open door like we don't always have during the year. Let's take advantage of this. All right. Let me jump right into this because we want to get some things done this morning. Two warnings, one caution this morning, one caution this morning. If you have your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 3, first warning is the ever-present danger is with us all the time, especially during Christmas, the ever-present danger of self-love or being the un-disciple. Do you remember years ago they had Cola Wars and they had three, this is years ago now, they had three top sodas out there. What were they? Coke, Pepsi, what was the third one? And what, yeah, we're showing our age this morning. What was 7-Up referred to as? The Un-Cola, right? You know the commercials, I won't. And Don, I think of you often. I was on the turnpike just getting as far away as I could from all those tractor trailers. I'll tell you what. The Un-Cola. Self-love is acting like the un-disciple for sure. Let's, first of all, I want you to notice Paul's last day description. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read the first four verses. And it's my conviction, and I will not develop it this morning. I believe Paul is talking about the Ephesian church. Paul is talking about the situation in the church, the professing church, during the last days. From the time that Jesus went back to heaven to the time he comes back, there's going to be some tough times in the professing church. He's not talking about the world in general. And what I find is fascinating, when I get into Paul's list of how bad things are going to be, he does not list things that I would list. If I was saying, you know, things are going to be terrible in the last days, we're going to have gender confusion, we're going to have homosexuality abounding, we're going to have sex trafficking, abortion, communism, socialism, wokeism, and everything else, Paul doesn't say that. He gets to the bottom of it. He says this, follow your Bible, know this, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times will come. And here it is. He says, men will be lovers of themselves. That's the ever-present danger, self-love. Men will be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Here it is again, verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of oneself. Christmas caution number 1. And I said, this is really talking about Ephesus because Timothy and Paul were working with the church at Ephesus. And not too many years later, the resurrected Christ would come to the church at Ephesus and say what? I have this one thing against you. And he doesn't say self-love. He might as well. Revelation 2, 4, you've left your first love. And you left it, really, because you're in love with yourself. Second bullet point, the big picture is misdirected love or love directed to self. Misdirected love or love directed to self. When we're talking about the love here in 2 Timothy 3, we're talking about commitment, we're talking about affection. Jesus Christ is not denied. They're not out there saying, oh, you know, they're not messing with the deity of Christ. It's just, he's just practically being replaced with something else. It's like the guy, the husband who gets caught cheating on his wife and says, well, I really love my wife. Well, you do, but she's been replaced with somebody else. Dr. Bill Mounts, who's one of the translators of the ESV, wrote, when one's love for God is replaced by love for oneself and the material world, all the other vices naturally flow. Did you catch that? When one's love for God is replaced by love for oneself and the material world, all the other vices that Paul mentions here naturally flow. And when you substitute love for God with love for self, your life might work for a while because sometimes substitutes work for a while, don't they? Sometimes things go along well. Several years ago, these power cords are flimsy. We had to get another power cord for the Dell laptop. And we went on Amazon, you know, they're always selling stuff. We're looking for the cheap one. So we got the cheap one, got it home, plugged it in the Dell laptop, and that substitute power cord, charger cord, worked. Everything was fine. Remember that? For a while, and then it fried the motherboard. And we took it to your computer, and the man said, oh yeah, Dell's designed so that it will not work with the substitute power cord. You have to have the real thing. But Doc, we plugged it in and it worked. Yeah, it worked for a while, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Same with self-love. Same with love for self. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10 is a sad verse. I don't know if we'll object to that, but 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul stops and reflects on a dear brother, a dear co-worker of his. And he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed. It got to him. Question we need to ask in the day we're living in, and I've seen this in the last couple decades, is self-love, is loving myself all that bad? You can go to a Christian counselor or a Christian therapist, and they will tell you, point blank, you need to love yourself. And by the way, if you go to a therapist or a counselor or read stuff by Christians that tell you you ought to love yourself, run away. Run away, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we need to deny ourselves. I believe that if we blow off or dismiss self-love as being a serious offense, if we don't think it's a big deal, it shows how ungodly we have become when we look at the Scriptures. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. In Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2 later on this morning as well. I want to mention before I read that, it's self-love. An issue with self-love is that self-love usurps God's rightful role, since one's deepest affections end up being focused on myself rather than on the Lord Jesus. That's the issue. Philippians chapter 2, look what Paul says, verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, he writes, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state," how you're doing. And he says this, "For I have no one like-minded who sincerely cares for your state." Here, verse 21, "All seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." What is the issue there? There's self-love going on. The biblical data calls this pride. When we were in Sunday school, and the teacher would teach us about pride, they'd say, "What is the middle letter of the word pride?" What's the middle letter? What is it? That's the problem. That's the problem. Self-love, biblical self-love, when it talks about that, is just another expression of pride. And God absolutely hates pride. Two references, and I don't think I have to prove it to anybody here, but maybe three references. Proverbs 16, beginning of verse 5, says this, and this is all over the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, "Everyone proud in heart is what? An abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 6:16 says, "There are six things the Lord hates." Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. And the first one is a proud look. That comes from a proud heart. James will often pick up the teaching of wisdom literature, the teaching of Proverbs. And James chapter 4, verse 6 says, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "But God gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Did you see that? God resists the proud. God is against the proud, because it's the humble heart where God delights to dwell in. I've been reading pastor theologian Sam Storms, and Sam has written a lot of stuff, and he has written a little book, and he talks about self-love. He talks about the danger of pride, and he lists several characteristics. I want to mention a couple that Sam Storms mentions in his list. Here's some characteristics of self-love. He says, self-love, and this is good to take inventory, self-love is quick to judge others. No, with no proper self-evaluation. What is the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount? And later on, Paul will reiterate it. You know what? When you're judging someone else, you're probably worse. Self-love is obsessed with comparisons. Always looking at other people, thinking we're better. Self-love is often inflexible. It is unteachable. It thinks it knows everything. You know, we don't. Self-love tends to self-defense and separating from people. And on your notes, I thought this is interesting. I heard a preacher talk about this several weeks ago. One present-day expression of self-love is, and Tim, I don't know if I even spelled it right, is selfies. Selfies. You know what a selfie is? What's a selfie? Yeah, what's a selfie? Yeah. I spell right. Thank you, sir. I'm going home now. This has been a good day. It is a good day. You know what selfie is? And Doc mentioned Facebook. Focus is all about me. I was sitting next to one of my young preacher friends Friday morning at a meeting, and he's much bigger than me. He's younger than me, but bigger than me. And he has the iPhone 13 with three lenses. It's a big phone. Apple gave me a little phone because I wouldn't get rid of the old phone. They gave me another one, and it just has one lens. But What do? We take pictures of ourselves with other people. We love that. And I don't do Facebook, but a lot of people have Facebook. They have their pictures and looking good. And I remember several years ago, I won't let you know who this is, but I was at some relative's house, and there were two beautiful college-age girls, and they were out on the porch, and for about a half, I was watching them. They were taking pictures of themselves and posing here, posing there. We do the same thing, even if you don't take pictures of yourself, is selfies. And I have to admit, I have pictures of myself in New Jersey. I had this great office, and I would have pictures on the wall of myself with a famous Christian celebrity. It was, aren't I something? I'm standing next to you-know-who and Dr. So-and-so and this group and that group. Expression of self-love. Well, you know, we're talking about Christmas cautions. Why talk about this at Christmas? Why Christmas? Well, it's an ever-present danger, but Christmas season, if we're not careful, promotes a subtle way of selfishness. Because there are folks out there in the advertising world that tell us we deserve something for ourselves. You know, buy this for yourselves. You know, I've heard of a guy years ago for Christmas, he gave his kids money and told them to go shop for themselves. Get what you want. I mean, that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Christmas kind of can make us feel discontent and jealous and think we know better or deserve better, rather. So let me get into, we want to get done this morning so we get on with what we're doing next. I want to give you three suggestions to prevent and cure self-love. And this is the opposite of self-love. What's the opposite of self-love? Self what? Come on. What is it? Self-denial, right? Self-denial. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, follow me. Okay, saying no to yourself and yes to Christ. You don't do that once. You don't do that once. I was in a meeting several summers ago, and there was a speaker up there, and he said, all you have to do for success in the Christian life is walk down to the altar, bend the knee once, and say yes. You need to do that all the time. You do that all the time. I need to be practicing self-denial all the time because myself wants to love itself and myself wants to rule. Three ideas, three suggestions. Fill this in here. Number one, if we're going to deal with self-love, we need to understand and pursue what delights the heart of God. It's about God. It's about Christ. What delights the heart of God? I want to go to two different chapters, and you know these verses. I want to go to two different chapters in Isaiah. I want to read these verses to you and encourage you to take these home and spend some time with them. Just don't read them this morning or listen to them this morning. You need to take these home and do what Anne Marie's doing. Just sort of meditate over them. Journal if you can. That helps you. That's a great idea. See what God says to your heart. Isaiah 57 verse 15, you're going to see amazing contrasts here. Isaiah says, for thus says the high and lofty one. This is God speaking. Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. What is God looking for? God's looking for humble people. God is looking for people who don't love themselves. They love him. They're practicing self-denial. Go to the last chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. First two verses. Same theme here. This delights the heart of God. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. And look what he says. Look what he says. But on this one will I look. This is the one who delights the heart of God. On him who is poor and and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. You know, when you tremble at God's word, it means you obey it, you reverently receive it, you take it very, very seriously. We got to be careful. Those of us who have grown up in church and have studied the Bible, we got to be careful that we don't control the Bible, but we need to let the Bible control us. Big difference. Big difference. I've been praying, Lord, what do you want me to teach on in January? I've been praying that for a couple weeks. What do you want me to do? Because, you know, it's easy for us to kind of do what we want to do. We know what to make the Bible say, what we want to say. We need to let it speak to our hearts. Understand, pursue what delights the heart of God. And that requires continual repentance and evaluation. Second thing, and I want you to flip back to Philippians chapter 2 for this one. This is a good Christmas passage. Follow freshly, if we're going to deal with self-love, follow freshly the example of Christ Jesus, Messiah Jesus. Follow, and the word is freshly, the example of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, you know it well, verse 3 and following, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's loving us. That's doing things because it makes us feel good. It's about us. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. What did Paul say? We need to consider the other person better than ourselves. That's self-denial. That's saying no to myself and yes to the other person, whether I like them or not. You know, I don't mind this if I like the other person, but there may be someone I don't like that much or I don't think they deserve it. Paul says, esteem others. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And then he brings it home. He says, let this attitude, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, that's God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form, the external form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, of those in heaven and on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What's Paul saying? He's saying a lot of things here, but what he's really saying, what I want to point out here, he's saying that the Lord Jesus Christ denied himself for you. For you. Follow freshly the example of Christ Jesus. And then one more suggestion, if we're going to deal with self-love, self-esteem, and you know this one. James chapter 1, verse 27 tells us to be gracious and to be generous to those who can. To those who can. Be gracious and generous to those who can't. Can't what? Can't survive, can't pay back, can't do anything for us. And that means being kind and patient, understanding. And James was never subtle. James was always very, very, very direct, said this. He said, James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Here's the real thing. And you've heard this before. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, being gracious and kind and generous to those who can't pay back. What's that Latin phrase we throw out? No pro quo, whatever. I know it. I should have wrote it down. Yeah, they can't pay back. They're hurting. And they may be grieving right now, and they need ministry. Want to deal with self-love? Be gracious. Don't hoard. Use your money. Use your time. Use your energy. to bless others who are hurting, particularly during this time of the year. Well, next Sunday, Lord willing, I want to give you a second caution, and I'll just give you a heads up. That caution will be the tendency for us to live permanently in Advent when we're called to live in the Ascension. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you for men and women who love your word. Father, may we tremble at it. May we use this season of the year to spread tidings of joy in reminding people about the gospel through our testimony, through good gospel literature, inviting them out to meetings. And Father, may we see you work. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the many who are praying globally because of saintspray.org. Lord, thank you that that ministry keeps growing. And we are convinced that as people pray for one another and people pray for revival, you're going to do something amazing. And we look forward to just seeing that ourselves. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.